We continue our discussions on PFS with 21B, Yuyan.
Good afternoon, board members. Agenda paper 21B on management performance measures and the scope of public communications continues discussion from the September board meeting. In September, the staff recommended to define the scope of public communications as forms of communication that are written and regularly provided in the periodic reporting process. The staff had suggested this approach in response to feedback received from respondents to the exposure draft that the scope of public communications was too wide or unclear. The board did not make any decisions at the September board meeting due to concerns about how the proposal would apply to digital forms of communication and, for example, initial public offering documents. Considering the feedback received from the board and the feedback to the exposure draft, the staff have identified two risks arising from the reference to public communications. The risk that there could be different interpretations of which types of communication are in the scope, resulting in some types of communication expected to be captured not being considered, which in turn could lead to some management performance measures not being identified, and the risk that entities and their auditors, as well as regulators, would incur costs to review a wide range of public communications, with most of that work being without benefit of identifying additional management performance measures, for example, having to review oral communications and social media posts. The staff think the first risk may not be significant, whereas the second risk could be significant. The staff have addressed these risks by analyzing whether the board should define public communications, or rather either provide additional application guidance in applying the definition, or narrow the scope of public communications for the purposes of identifying management performance measures. Currently, public and public communications are not defined in IFRS standards. The staff think that the board should not define public communications solely for the purposes of defining management performance measures, as this could have unintended consequences for other standards. In addition, the staff think that defining public communications for a wider application would be beyond the scope of this project. The staff also considered whether the board should provide additional application guidance, but concluded that additional guidance would not provide significant benefit, as the staff expect management performance measures to generally already be included in the forms of communication listed in the application guidance in paragraph E79 of the exposure draft. That is, management commentaries, press releases, and investor presentations. The staff think that narrowing the scope of public communications for the purposes of identifying management performance measures by excluding oral communications, transcripts, and social media posts would provide a cost relief for entities, auditors, and regulators. At the same time, the staff do not expect these types of communication to include additional management performance measures which would not have already been identified in other types of communication. Therefore, the question for the board on page 15 is, does the board agree with the staff recommendation to narrow the scope of public communications considered for the purposes of applying the definition of management performance measures to exclude oral communications, transcripts, and social media posts?
Okay. Open it up. Bruce.
Thank you. So my answers to this were yes, yes, and no. I was kind of questioning a bit on the oral communications, because my concern was where companies are starting to do things which are on video, etc. And I've kind of got my head around the oral communications and even the transcripts that I do agree don't. The one that I don't agree with is social media posts. I mean, if I look at the criteria that have been listed in paragraph 19, I mean, we talk about the fact that it says here the staff think the common interpretation is wide in scope. We said there, September 21, the board members spoke about these both reported externally and made available to a wide public audience. I mean, if that's not the definition of social media, I don't know what is. I mean, I think the reality is social media has become a formal channel in which companies communicate. I mean, we ourselves, as the IFRS Foundation, we use our social media channels very consciously as something we use to communicate with the greater market. In fact, I would actually debate whether social media is not looked at more than printed material or any other materials that a company puts out. So, I mean, if I look at some countries where there are mechanisms where the market, people can send information to the market, they're probably not getting as much coverage as, I know in South Africa we use Sends, but I mean, they're probably not getting as much coverage as some of the social media posts are. So I think I just question whether, to me, a formal social media platform for a company in which they're using it is not something that I would consider to be as good as putting it in a newspaper or sending out an email to shareholders or any different ones. So, I, as I said, I agree with the first two, but I strongly think social media, to me, in today's day and age, is by no means an informal communication channel.
Good.
today.
Thank you, Andreas. I agree with the staff's recommendation. Because actually what we are excluding here, in the end of the day, it is likely that will be in another form of communication, a more formal one. I mean, that this is basically, at least in my view, the basis for excluding this one. And it's quite difficult, for example, to, especially orally, to communicate MPMs. I mean, that even if it is a video or something like that, suppose there is a presentation or something attached to this one. And then I think that I agree with that. But I would stress the base for conclusion that the information included on those forms of communication, it's likely to be included in another communication that is in the scope of the standard. Thank you.
Rita?
I'm still struggling with whether to support or not, because initially I thought we might limit the scope by defining the public communication. That is the one way we can do. But after reading this paper, I feel more like we shouldn't define and also don't mention anything about the exclusion of a specific media in our standards, because we have no ability to predict the future development of technologies. And then it's really difficult for us to restrict further in the future if something else comes up. And I don't think that is kind of the unintended and unnecessary consequence of implementing something like excluding something and something and something. So I think if we can use a tool like a rebuttable presumption, as we tentatively decided, I think I rather want to restrict the scope in a different way rather than using the considering further about the concept of public communication.
Okay. Jinjiang?
Thank you, Andrew. I suppose staff's proposal. But when I heard the reviews from Bruce, you know, I also have some sympathy with, you know, the social media post. But my question actually is about, we are talking about the disclosure of MPM, management performance measure, rather than other information which included in the social post media. And MPM always a very important information for company to deliver to the users, to the outside stakeholders. So from my perspective, when the company decided to disclose the information using those social media posts, normally first there's some kind of governance process in place. You know, not like I just post a picture or something like that. It's management's views of an aspect of the performance of the company. It's a very serious message to the users. Secondly, before the company decided to post that measure in the social media post, I always think that there's some kind of press release or some formal document in place to go through the whole governance process rather than simply just disclose that information through those social media posts. So from this perspective, I agree with staff's recommendation. I think should be no problem, because there are always some kind of formal documents in place before those information has been disclosed through social media posts.
I completely agree with what Jinjiao has said. I've not come across a single entity that has just put out MPM information through the channels that we are listing in here. So I understand that we are trying to give relief to people, not to search the world. But I wonder whether this really is the right anchor. So I could happily support what you're trying to do, and I could agree with the staff recommendation. I just am cognizant of the likely limited effect this will have for the reasons that Jinjiao was citing. So for anything that's being transmitted orally or by transcript anyway needs to have something ahead of it. But also social media will usually concur with some other sort of formal documentation. I mean, in the paper, in paragraphs 22, 23, you point to regulatory guidance, right? And some regulators are actually quite keen as that. If you're putting anything out in Twitter that you haven't put out in other form, we will actually go after you. And there are some very prominent examples. A car manufacturer, well known, that actually has met the regulator several times, right? So I wonder how many cases we see where social media is used exclusively. And for that reason, I'm not sure that actually we will be getting much effect. If we just say there is no need for you to look at these because there is an assumption that all the information will already be provided or will have been provided or will be provided at the same time in some other form of communication, then I think it sends probably a signal that I could put myself behind it. So I wonder really how much of a cost relief that is.
I mean, what you just, sorry to jump in, but what you just formulated there was the basis for our recommendation in that we do not expect, apart from the car manufacturer in question or the person there, that there will be cases where this is exclusively used, and therefore we thought we're cutting out costs from the system of just having to do searches of these because we don't expect there will be any incremental benefits from that. But if you think the way it's been set out in the paper is not quite reflecting that, then maybe
I wonder whether the way how we spelled this out could not have been drafted a bit clearer in that sense, right? Because I really think that I would let common sense prevail, as I said to you in another sense. I don't think that then anybody will just proliferate information orally on MPMs and not do anything else that actually backs that up. As Jinjiao said, there is a governance process, there are regulations in place and things like that, which is, I'm happy to include such a statement in the basis for conclusion rather than making a bold statement in the main part of the standard, thou shalt not or thou need not look for oral communication or something like that, I think. Probably, and that gets them back to Rika's point, probably stay at a higher level in the standard and explain that in the basis that would be rare if it's to be seen at all.
Maybe just worth, sorry to jumping in terms of feedback on MPMs, this was the point that received most feedback and pushback from stakeholders. Is that fair to say, Nick, in terms of that's always what they want, you know? So that's why we felt it's good to have some words in this.
My answer would be let's let common sense prevail. But anyway, it's probably a bit superstitious. Yeah. Nick?
I just said what I was going to say, that this was in direct response to the feedback that we heard and the concerns and the costs that would be incurred by having to search through. And oral is the same as transcripts, really. It's the one and the same. But to think that people would have to go through all of those to check that there weren't MPMs. I'm with you. I think it's highly unlikely that someone would use these exclusively. And the same with social media. I understand it's a growing channel, but I don't think anyone today is exclusively using it. And that's where I certainly had comfort about saying, actually, you don't have to look at these three areas, simple as that, to provide the cost relief.
So I'm with Nick, who's with Andreas, who's with Jinjiao. You know, I thought that this was there to make it manageable, responding to the feedback. So, you know, we've eliminated defining public communications. Yeah, it looks funny, you know, these modern trends, oral communications and so forth, we're excluding. But what we're arguing, that Jinjiao's first point, you know, it's all going to have been highly regulated on a governance process. It's all disclosed somewhere else when we're talking about MPMs. So, in light of my fellow board members' comments, I suppose I would say, is there some other way that we can do it that you're comfortable with, that we get the outcome we want without having to put it what looks to to an external person looks like a funny exclusion, looks like we're backward-looking than forward-looking. I think we understand why it's framed like this, because it's in response to feedback and it seems to be the simplest way to do it. I think Andreas is asking whether we can do it in a way without having to put it down in the words that become part of the standard. I don't know if you want an answer or if you want to go away and think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to hear what Mary has to say, because I know Mary often comments on things we include on the basis and thinking they will have effect, maybe don't have desired effect. And sorry, Mary, I don't know if that was at all what you were going to comment on, but that is... Yeah, that's my concern. If we put it in the basis alone, is it going to have the effect that we are, that's going to address the feedback we heard?
I don't know if I'm going to disappoint you or please you by saying, I put up my card to say, I think this is an instance in which we should provide relief and provide it. I would go with putting it in the standard, although it would be nice if you could find a way so it doesn't say we hereby exempt the following things. But, Andreas, it's the same logic, but I respond to it differently. Because we expect searching oral communications, including transcripts thereof, and social media to be highly unlikely to turn up any new items, we're going to tell you that you don't have to search them because we heard, and then we can go on to explain in the basis for conclusions. The reason we said this is because we heard lots of concerns around the cost of having to do this much more extensive search that's, including by any auditors, if these MPMs are in audited financial statements, which I think we're expecting often they will be. And so we're providing this to reduce the cost of testing the completeness of the population. But I think that explanation for why is in the basis, but I think it would be better to just have, a reasonably short version of the, in public communications, this does not require consideration of oral communications, including transcripts or social media.
Zach.
So I'm supportive of the staff's position. Let me get that out of the way before I scare anyone. I'm going to do something dangerous, which is try and think on the fly outside of my expertise zone, because what I'm hearing from virtually everyone is that there's a presumption that if there's an internal control environment or a regulatory environment that dictates that this information is duplicative, then we don't need to search it. Is there a way to use that construct where we say, if this is the case, then you don't need to do a duplicative search? Because it shouldn't appear there anyway.
The downside that I could expect is actually putting the onus on the preparer to actually prove that this is the case, right? So I'm sympathetic to your idea, but I'm just thinking about, is the similar to, you have to prove that something is not material, and in order to do so, you first have to do the exercise, only to then show no material effect, right?
But it's one-off exercise because presumably you don't change your regulatory environment so often.
Hopefully.
So, yeah. And I think it's similar to what Rico was suggesting early on, rebuttable concept. Yeah.
Okay. Bruce?
Thanks. I'm just going to make one more comment, realizing I'm probably going to get to have very little sympathy on this. But I mean, I guess the only question I had was, my understanding of why we were looking at these was, we're concerned about catching those things that are outside of the regulatory disclosure. They're outside of what's legally required. They're outside of what we're requiring in IFRS. So I agree with you. I mean, if these things are required by law, required by regulation, they're going to get caught somewhere else. My concern is, is this creating a channel? I mean, if I was sitting there saying, well, actually, I don't have regulatory requirements to disclose them anywhere else because they're not required by regulation, I can use a social media chain on the outside of that. I'm just trying to concern that I'm worried that we're seeing this as a duplication because it's things that are caught somewhere else. That's not my concern. My concern is that I'm saying these to me are the items outside of that regulatory legal framework. And if that's the case, then I may not have a requirement to disclose it somewhere else because I can use social media, which is very much a legitimate channel. I can't go post anything on the IFRS website because it needs to go through our comms communications. There's a process around these things. It's not like, I mean, with respect, I appreciate the car example, but we know that's dealing with a cowboy. But, in most situations, companies companies' responsibilities are very much monitored in terms of the same methodology would go into a post on LinkedIn that would go into something I put into a newspaper or an official thing. So I just worry that by saying this, I think we're creating a channel where I'm saying somebody providing you outside of the legal, regulatory, and IFRS requirements, you can use social media and those will never hit MPMs. I just think that we're almost giving people the idea of where they can go and put things that are outside of those, and they know they're not going to get caught. I think we're helping people get out of this, but anyhow, it's my view.
Vika?
Yes, I actually, my concern is very consistent with what was mentioned right now. We might create some route to escape the disclosure of the MPM. So if we include something in our text of the standard, in that case, I hope that even though we identify something specifically, that still the application should be principle-based, not some kind of the make a good escape route for the preparers to communicate with investors outside our established rules about MPMs. So I think if I consider it that way, it's probably very difficult for us to do so. But at the same time, if the basis can explain why we identify those two only within the text of the standard and what we consider, what we discussed today, and that might help to make it more general principle-based application.
Mary?
I'm just responding to Zach's suggestion. I think, even though, while I'd support explaining that was our thought process, I would not write it in as a condition, because in effect it makes every company executive and every auditor have to do a securities law interpretation about what, you know, whether or not securities law applies to that social media, and that's something that probably is going to be, is going to be evolving over time. So I think if we write it in as a requirement, either everybody will say, I'm not willing to take that risk, so, you know, I'm going to have to do that, or, you know, get us sideways with the regulators. So I think we can explain in the basis why we might be providing certain cost reliefs in terms of the search, you know, and that's all it is in terms of the search. I don't share Bruce's concern that we're pointing people to saying, hey, look, there's an escape route, because it would mean that they could only communicate those MPMs using social media, and I think there are enough dinosaurs like me around that most companies, you know, are going to be trying to communicate with in the next several years that they wouldn't be willing to have something that they think is an important measure of performance communicated only in social media. Because, you know, really your concern about escape hatch is if they limit their use of that to only that one form of communication. And otherwise it's going to turn up in something we'll that we'll pick up.
Today.
Thank you, Andreas. It's just to reinforce that I really should have raised this one, but I am glad that you did it. It can also, Mary. In terms of completeness, looking from the auditor's perspective, I mean that if you just have to look everything, it's supposed that first management has to do that, but also the auditor has to be sure about the completeness. And then if we can get some limitation on where this information is, it definitely will be very welcome. And it is clearly in the feedback received that they would like some clarification in relation to this one. But actually, the main reason that I want to add some comment here is that this is not only for listed and regulated entities. This is something that will be applicable for any company that is making communications. And then sometimes you might have some private health company also having their annual report or other kind of communication. It's just not in our base for conclusion. Assume that there is always a robust governance, regulated market or something like that. Sometimes it might be a private health company just thinking about, I wouldn't say as a marketing piece, but actually wants to communicate this for any reason to customers, supply chain, whatever. It's just because it's more than just listed and regulated entities that is affected by this.
Maybe just to reiterate, you know, this was the number one concern almost every single meeting we had in the outreach. Yeah, and this was very wide. This is going to cause so many costs. I hear that this maybe creates some risks, but I think back to the point that do you really expect companies to avoid mentioning things in things like investor press releases in order to avoid NPM requirements? I mean, maybe we are giving this too much importance. So, you know, our assessment, I think, is still that the risks are worth it being responsive to the feedback. But, you know, we can try, you know, rebuttable presumption, all of that. I'm just concerned about overcomplicating things as a result.
We'll just try voting and see how many votes you get.
Well, we could. Nick? So, just to be clear, this is me thinking of costs and benefits here. I think let's keep it straightforward. This is simple. Let's not overcomplicate it. I'm not sure I'm convinced that a shadow market will develop for NPMs on social media or anything. I just don't foresee that happening.
Regulators would listen.
Yeah. I'm with the staff proposal on this.
So let's. Okay, you want to vote?
I want to vote.
Okay. Okay, we let you vote. Okay, can I see a show of hands who would agree with the staff recommendation?
Mr. Lavesis.
All right. Do we want to progress and the swap we've had to make? Or do we...
How long do you think 21 says in that group?
Take up to 60 minutes, 45 to 60 minutes.
I think we should stick with the agenda.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. It'll disrupt the PIR of 10 through 12 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you want to put forward now item 8 or do you want to start at 1:45?
How about just a 2-minute break while I get this down?
Okay. All right. So, sorry, it was a try.
Yep.
Okay, the benefit is we have you again on Friday.